This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Good morning. I'm Elisa Clancy, and here's what's happening at this hour. A new study by UCSF looked at the number of homeless people regularly using drugs. As KCBS's David Welch reports, the results were surprising, even to the researchers.
Dr. Margot Kuchel with UCSF says the study took on one popular belief, mainly that homelessness and drug use go hand in hand. She says popular perception leads to those numbers as high, but when they looked at those figures, it turned out to be low. According to the study, only 37% of those that are homeless say they use illicit drugs.
Because in a way, people overnumber people who are most visible. People they might see on the street who is using drugs, they might assume that they are the entire population.
She says the study reveals a lot of questions about why there's misperceptions, but more importantly, she says it shows misguided beliefs about why people are homeless in the first place.
I think we have a lot of discourse right now around substance use, which suggests that we should just force people into treatment. But really the foundational issue we need to address is our lack of affordable housing.
David Welch, KCBS.
Since President Trump took office, much of the content on the Centers for Disease Control website have been removed or altered. But KCBS's Shannon Golden reports a group of digital archivists is working to make a mirror image of the site before it was purged.
I do quite simply think this is about saving lives in the future.
RestoredCDC.org, which went live this week, looks and runs like the original, aside from an informational banner at the top, and aims to save information about vaccines, HIV care, reproductive health, and trans and gender-confirming health care. Alexis Hancock, director of engineering at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, says these changes happen with every administration, but that it takes quite an effort to restore, especially without backups.
And it's really unfortunate that happened. But with this mirroring and this preservation and archiving effort, I'm hoping that that's data that someone doesn't have to start fresh with and start over and redo.
It's volunteers behind the massive undertaking who are using open source tools for creating and managing web archives. Tools built by companies like WebRecorder.net. Founder Ilya Kramer calls this an emergency effort.
I never believed that internet is forever. I think being in the web archiving field myself, I always know that everything eventually disappears offline.
He says efforts like this are happening across the internet, including for databases and dashboards for climate change and LGBTQ content. Shannon Golden, KCBS.
More money, more problems. That seems to be the case in this name, image, likeness age of college sports. KCBS's Jack Ferris has more.
It was 2021 when California became the first state to allow college athletes to seek financial gain by making sponsorship deals with local and national brands. And it wasn't long until the rest of the dominoes fell.
Then the NCAA, the national organizing body for all of college sports, just said, well, we can't just let California do that, so we'll just make it the same for everybody across the country.
That's former sports columnist Mark Purdy. Now, with several years in the books, we have data to analyze and still plenty of problems to solve. to no one's surprise, football and basketball players make far and away the most money, both from the schools they play for and third-party deals. But things get more complicated as student-athletes now have freedom to jump from school to school as they please without penalty, burning the schools they leave in the process. It also causes some human challenges.
How would you like to be a coach where in your locker room you've got outside people paying your quarterback, let's say, $50,000 to advertise the ribs joint, but the linemen are getting, you know, $20 from, you know, somebody who just wants them to mow a lawn?
In San Francisco, Jack Ferris, KCBS.
A Richmond-based animal shelter is looking for foster homes, but as KCBS's David Welch reports, the shelter specializes in one thing, rabbits.
During the pandemic, a lot of rabbit owners skipped their spay and neuter appointments. Rabbits, doing what rabbits do, are good at reproducing. Fast forward a few years, there's a rabbit boom.
Our foster program is just as important as our adoption program.
Amber Tadina is the interim executive director of House Rabbit Society. She says their 40 or so rabbit enclosures are full, which is why they're looking for more foster homes.
We can take in even more from our partner shelters if more people are interested in fostering.
She says fostering a rabbit is not only free, it's simple. They take up a small footprint, and believe it or not, they love to play.
Pet rabbits are actually very similar to cats in care, in sort of temperament.
Tadina says a typical foster stay lasts about 2 weeks, and she says they provide everything you'll need to take care of the animal. But keep in mind, rabbits love lots of salad greens.
The only sort of monetary commitment from our fosters is the fresh greens.
In Richmond, David Welch, KCBS.
The owner of a San Jose law practice is being extradited from Central Asia to face charges in connection with a controversial visa program. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports.
60-year-old Jean Chen, who also goes by Maria Sophia Taylor, will face fraud charges in federal court in San Jose.
The high-profile prosecution of San Jose attorney Jean Chen demonstrates it's not just poor people that can be abused in immigration scams.
Former prosecutor, defense attorney, and legal analyst Steve Clark, Chen and her husband, Tony Ye, are accused of soliciting investments in connection with the EB-5 visa program that allows foreign citizens to live in the U.S. with a green card if they invest $800,000 to $1 million in businesses that create jobs.
The EB-5 immigration program was designed to give wealthy foreign nationals a shortcut to American residency. However, many of these individuals have been taken advantage of by unscrupulous lawyers and immigration advisors.
Chen is accused of forging fake signatures. She's now facing 10 counts of visa fraud. Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
About 100,000 riders who rely on bus and light rail service in the South Bay may have to find alternative transportation tomorrow. A strike is looming at the Valley Transportation Authority for some 1,500 employees. The VTA and its unionized bus drivers and light rail operators appear deadlocked in contract negotiations. Workers are planning to strike tomorrow. The union had been negotiating with the Valley Transportation Authority on a new contract since last August. They're demanding wage increases and a conflict resolution process that would allow workers to present their grievances to a neutral third party and avoid going to court.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. I'm Liz St. John. Here's what's happening. Dozens of people gathered in front of the Van Ness Tesla dealership in San Francisco to protest Elon Musk's political influence. KCBS's Jack Ferris was on the scene.
Honks were consistent this afternoon at Van Ness and O'Farrell as protesters waved their anti-Musk signs in solidarity. angry with the unwavering cuts made by Tesla's CEO to the federal government and its countless employees.
They're needed. They're needed. And a chainsaw approach to them is irresponsible. It's going to have a lot of unintentional consequences that are going to hurt the country.
The general message today, buying Tesla supports Musk. And if you have one, consider another option.
It's in their own self-interest, and it's also the right thing to do.
But one protester admitted to a pickle he found himself in.
I own a Tesla. I bought one of the first Model S's in 2012. I still have it.
His reasoning?
But I'm not going to get rid of it because I have free charging because I got one of the first ones. And the way I look at it is, if I sell it to somebody, they won't have free charging. So that lets Tesla off the hook. So by me driving it, they're paying for the charging. So screw Elon.
In San Francisco, Jack Ferris, KCBS.
It's been more than 2 years since storms ravaged West Cliff Drive in Santa Cruz County, ripping huge sections of the road off, crashing into the ocean below. Now, as KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports, progress is being made to get the pathway back to what it used to be.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I like the horn.
A random car horn out here on West Cliff Drive where people are walking and biking, enjoying the day.
It's a beautiful place to come.
I think it's kind of nice. It gives the community more of a, you know, element to get out there and do more and, you know, have more options.
Griffin referring to the fact that the pedestrian pathway here has been widened, new landscaping put in, and a seawall constructed.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to visiting Santa Cruz, so I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe the residents want it more private, but, you know, I'm not a millionaire, so...
Westcliff is lined by oceanfront homes. The construction here has been ongoing to fortify the coastline and protect this iconic pathway.
Even if it's similar to what it was before, at least it's open.
A number of people out here expressing that sentiment.
And every year we lose hundreds of yards of this coastline, and so the fact that they're able to reconstruct it, just keeping it open, is that's a blessing just in and of itself.
In Santa Cruz County, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
In the 5 years since it was declared a global pandemic, COVID has had a mixed bag of effects on children. KCBS's Steve Scott has more.
The World Health Organization declared COVID a global pandemic on March 11, 2020, almost 5 years ago to the day. Roy Grinker is a cultural anthropologist and the director of George Washington University's Institute for Ethnographic Research. He tells KCBS the loss of life and toll of social isolation changed the way we grieve our loved ones, socialize with others, and perceive time.
We've had diminishing trust in our leaders and our scientists. Our social ties have been affected. Our educational gains have been affected. It's not the same world.
But Grinker tells KCBS, we also learned many lessons from the pandemic. He says the advent of online learning gave new opportunities to children with learning differences.
Certain kids did better during the pandemic. Those who were bullied at school, kids with special needs who might have been so stressed out at school that they would come home absolutely exhausted.
Steve Scott, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.